All right, well, welcome back, everyone. So what we'll do is we'll take out of order, if there's no objection, a discussion on the federal Anchorage proposal. I think Andy O'Brien put that in his article, and it sparked some questions. Any discussion on that? Do we need information? What are people looking for around the federal Anchorage?
Is it all an owl's head?
Yeah.
So is there an owl's head rupture?
Nope.
No.
Not here.
Is there one?
Thank you.
I was hoping somebody would come over.
Well, for ignorant people, what is it? I don't even know what it is.
Matt?
Well,
so just public. Off Mouse Head, off of Broad Cove, there's a deeper spot where you can safely anchor these larger vessels that are coming into, entering into Rockland, I should say. And we do have a federal anchorage that's designated within the boundaries of Rockland, but it's just not simply deep enough for these ships, so they end up anchoring them out there.
Okay.
So the way it's been explained to me is they're going to anchor there anyway. They have every right to anchor there. But what they want to do, it was Penn Bay pilots, they went to the Coast Guard and applied to designate that area on the charts. And at that point, they would come under different rules and regulations, so on and so forth.
So why would they want that?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
You'd have to point that towards.
Because, I mean, the only ships that are anchored in there are the creek.
The
water
big
ships.
The big ones.
And, the pilots know where to anchor them.
Right.
So, and if they can anchor there anyway, why?
So sure.
Basically, I think Al's Head loses jurisdiction of that.
Doesn't it explain it in that?
Can you make a copy? Did everybody read the letter to the
I've
Penn Bay pilots?
It to all of
yep.
you guys.
It's in the pilot?
No,
it's
a Penn Bay pilot's. Penn
no,
Bay,
it's in the Penn Bay pilot?
No, it's a Penn Bay pilot application.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So, Matt, the question that people have been asking me is when the pilots say they're going to anchor there, whether or not the designation goes through or not. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I don't have anything else to say. I really don't.
Okay.
Your best bet is to either talk to the Coast Guard, which is the authority on that, directly from the horse's mouth. And I don't have the background to talk about that.
Okay.
Who has the jurisdiction to set that? Only the Coast Guard, correct?
Coast Guard. Yeah.
And they have not.
In fact, I just received an email back. I forwarded you a copy of what I sent to the commander down in Portland. Just received an email today. I think I forwarded
yes.
it to everybody. So it's not out for public discussion yet, but it will be.
It will be, okay.
Yep, yep. And as soon as the commander has a little bit more information on when and where that might be or any other information regarding that federal anchorage, he'll forward it to me, but he's also going to start the public process.
And that will be in things like the Free Press and the other Penn Bay pilot?
I can't tell you about that, but I'll get the information to the Harbor Commission.
Okay.
Technically, it's
is
in
it,
the Federal Register,
yeah.
and it's supposed to be open for public comment.
Is it just for all the ships coming in, or was it specifically
for
the ships? One at a time. Come on.
If it's designated a federal anchorage, it's for any
so
ship.
So anyone. But that was the one that posed the problem, correct? She draws more water? Is that what I understand?
Oh, you mean the Queen Mary?
Yeah, QE2, Queen Mary. Wasn't that the issue that they were?
I don't know. I think from what I understand after talking to the pilots, this has been an ongoing request. They wanted to do this years ago. The reason why they didn't was because near that area was a wreck on the chart. So when NOAA last summer scanned the bottom, they noted that that wreck is no longer there, if it was ever there to begin with. So at that point, they could move forward with that request to make that area part of the federal land.
And it is in Owl's Head.
It's not in Rockland. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's right off of Owl's Head, Broad Cove.
Yeah, so David, you ask a good question. Should a representative from Owl's Head be here? That's I think that's a fair question.
Well, you already have that right. Yeah, they contact the Coast Guard. And
mm-hmm. David, you had your hand up?
Yes, I did, but question was answered, I guess.
Okay.
Anybody wants to find an actual chart where it shows it, if you go to the Maine Politage Commission?
Yeah, no, I've seen a chart, and we've actually talked to some people on Owl's Head in Broad Cove there who have fairly strong opinions about this, but I was wondering, the question I had is, if you get a designation as an anchorage, does that affect the ability to fish there?
To fish there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
That's what we were just chatting about.
I mean, if you're within a circle of, I mean, are there a lot of traps out there? That
yeah, there's a lot of traps, and there's a lot of traps lost this year from the boats that was out there. Because one of the problems is they never say where they're going to put the boats when they come. They may give you a general idea, but then when they show up, they do what they want to do anyway. So then all of a sudden, all your traps are over here, so then you have to go and move them. Ones that you can find, a lot of them, some of them get damaged from the anchors actually dropping on them, you know, because there's a high concentration of lobster gear all through there.
Even though it's designated Owl's Head, rock, that's
yeah,
rock
that's all
bottom.
Rock and fishing bottom all the way out through there.
All the way out to the
all the way out to the dumping, to the PB buoy.
Sure.
From Owl's Head Light, basically, to the PB buoy. And everything north of that's rock and fishing bottom. Yeah.
Yes, one question I had is, what rights do the landowners have? Because their view is all of a sudden the side of a cruise ship, rather than...
They don't have any rights because the pilot has the ultimate say where they're going to put those ships. They can put them ships wherever they want because they're responsible for them. And it kind of gives them a little chip on the shoulder that they have that much power. They can do whatever they want, basically.
Does it have to be in federal waters? Or
No. They can put them boats wherever they want to put them.
So the town of Owl's Head wouldn't have any say?
No, nope, they wouldn't have any say whatsoever.
Once it's established that... With the S6, before it's established.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
No.
Well, during the public meeting.
It doesn't even need to be a federal anchor. They can put it wherever they want.
Yeah.
So what's the point in having a public hearing that's, you know, we're notified in the Federal Register? Because they're going to do it
anyway. It doesn't
anyway.
Make any
what
sense
is,
to
doesn't.
Me unless you just want some kind of power grab is what I look at it as.
Well, I think it's required in the law. You read the Coast Guard law, they have to publish, once the local commander has made a decision to establish a federal anchorage area, they have to publish it in the Federal Register and have a public meeting to encourage comment. Probably, I mean, this is a law that obviously covers every place in the country, and probably there are situations where it's different than here. But I don't know. I'm kind of jaded about our government. So
doesn't it take an act of Congress to put that designate that?
I think it's just the captain of the port.
Well, no, if we went through this whole thing with O'Hara and they decommissioned the Federal Channel and recommissioned part
that,
of
that had more to do with the Army Corps of Engineers, I think.
No, well, they
the
said it had to go to special council.
Had to have an act of Congress.
Yeah.
Captain of the Port, I'm sure.
Well, as I read the law, the Department of Homeland Security is the one ultimately responsible, and they delegated the responsibility to make decisions on the general, the commander of the Northeast or something, and they in turn redelegated it to the local, or the colonel or commander of the
Sector Northern New England.
Yeah, which is the captain of the port. The commander of the sector is the captain of the port.
Yeah, it's the port captain of the Coast Guard, whatever.
Captain of the port, who is the commander of the Northern New England sector.
Yeah.
And that's the guy in Portland.
Familiar with military ranks and all that stuff. So.
Is that Myers?
No.
Or Baruti.
Baruti.
It's Baruti.
Ken?
I'm not on the commission and just here, but just for clarification for me, so say a pilot, Adam Philbrook, for example, would be on one of the Carnival cruise lines, or they'd take him out to Matinicus, put him on board, he'd come in here, and he'd say, put the anchor down here. And so what Carnival Cruise Lines would like would essentially be to have an anchorage where they could just swing and not run all their position gear.
Yeah.
All this bow thrusters and stuff to keep them in one spot, which in essence, they want a lot more space out there just to swim.
Yeah. The Navy might be I think that was in
because they talk about the dynamic. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. And so yeah. Kind of rationalizing use of that.
Less fuel.
And the depth.
You know, during the time that they're here.
Well, I have to admit that from their perspective, that's a pretty extraordinary responsibility to be the one to say put the boat here, and whether they belong there or not is a whole other question. But do the Navy frigates, when they come in here, do they have a pilot?
Same pilot.
I think they do. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they have to have pilots.
Okay. How about
they could drop anchor anywhere they wanted. They could do outside breakwater and just drop an anchor there somewhere.
Yep.
But the American cruise lines, like is it the Independence?
They're not required to have them.
Other questions?
Some yachts are required, right?
Yeah. Two. Mm-hmm. Bill was talking about that, and I don't know what the requirements are for those.
Yes. 250 or 400.
Any further discussion? Any other questions?
One more question.
Kim?
The proposal for the cruise lines is that the city is going to charge them, is it $10 a person?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll use their little... shuttlecraft, or starship shuttlecraft, to go back and forth. Does our, as a city, our rights to charge them change if they're not specifically anchored in Rockland water?
No. If they come over the public landing, which is here, we can charge. It doesn't matter where they're coming from.
Does their obligation? Are there obligations to the city that change when they're further out and not in?
Our responsibility ends at the tip of this dock, versus the city.
Right here.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Most of those cruise ships were probably in Owl's Head water.
Yeah, right.
If you look at right up here, you can.
I went out and plotted where the last ones went, and they were. Well outside of Rockland territorial water.
Yeah. I think just one was adjacent to the breakwater that's in Rockland.
That was the smaller one.
The silver was
Pearl.
Yeah.
Pearl.
What was the silver one?
This year, I think the silver was
Further discussion? Okay, so what we do absolutely is community has woken up to this. I know I've heard from one or two people from Broad Cove who have concerns because they feel as if they're behind the eight ball, and you know that months have gone by and they haven't had any input, and they are from Owl's Head, so hopefully they will step forward and voice their opinion, but we will need to know when the public comment is so the commission can make a recommendation if we have one. To the feds and obviously the fishermen, if you want to reach out to your community, because I think it is important to understand that if this shifts, I understand what the pilots are saying, that they can put those boats anywhere they want, but we also have a fishing community, and I would think that at some point they have some rights as well, not just a cruise ship. My personal opinion, but we can find that out. Anything else with the federal anchorage? Okay. Now, if anybody wants to leave, we're going to move on to the rest of our agenda. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Do you want to take your cookies, Don?
Oh, no.
Okay.
You guys are all
welcome.
I will be on your cell phone at 3 in the morning.
That's funny.
Okay, no public comment. We're on for the approval of the minutes. Approval of the minutes?
No, I make a motion. There was like small difference
yeah.
with the one I sent out you last week. So.
Okay, motion on the table. Melissa? Second? You can't second yourself, Melissa. Matthew.
Sure.
Okay. Approval of minutes. Fish Pier report.
So,
capital on city council about biological testing, $115,000.
Yeah.
We came back, we contacted the University of Maine at Orono to find out if there was some sort of program where they might be able to help us at least do some testing, maybe not for the actual permit, but to give us an idea if it might pass or not, and we do not have a program available. I didn't go outside the state to ask.
What specific testing needs to be done?
The bylaw, if we were to apply for the offshore disposal of the fish pier soils, then we would have to do this biological testing in accordance with the Army Corps of Engineer requirements.
Biological testing? So yeah. Not like metals and toxin testing?
We've already done that.
So what's the biological side of it?
Well, Gary Neville, who works over at PROC, he explained it to me, so I'm going to try to explain it. He has a biological background. Basically, they take our mud, and they take the sample mud from where we'd be putting it at. They would grow clams and other sea animals in each one and see if they grow roughly the same, any issues, type thing. It's a long process, but that's the way I understand it. Well beyond my capabilities.
I think he did a good job.
Yeah, a couple other species, but yeah.
That's the basics.
Yeah, some crustaceans too.
You know, I can attest to the fact that both samples of mud look the same.
Because Stockton
Springs. I went and got the samples for them.
Yeah.
So what are the other companies then?
I don't remember. Normandale?
Oh,
Normandale,
big boys.
Is one. Okay. Yeah. You'll have to shoot me an email.
Yeah, okay.
And was the going rate 100 grand?
She hasn't got me the quote yet, but I asked her what's the ballpark, and she said, yeah, you're probably going to be around 100,000. Mm. So I think we're in the ballpark, but we wanted to get another outside. And the tough part is there's not many companies up here that don't work with our current contractor, because there's just not a lot of dredging comparatively that goes on in Maine versus other states. So it's very difficult to get a unbiased, you know, another contractor to get a good quote. So I'd have to say 100K is right about where we're going to be. So with that being said, I also started to track down some costs for upland disposal, just in case we didn't want to do biological testing. So if you do the biological testing and you pass it, and the Army Corps is all set and you get all the permits, the total price would be $300,000 to $350,000 to do the dredging, do all the permitting, the dredging and the testing and disposal, $350,000. So if we go upland disposal, I talked to Norgewalk, and also talked to the DEP to see if we might be able to use a more local gravel pit that is out of use. A lot of times they use dredge spoils, put them in the pits, and then cover those over however the DEP wants that to happen, to beneficial reuse. Anytime you touch this is what I learned, anytime you touch it with a dump truck, the price is considerable. So for instance, going to Norgewalk is about $1.2 million, and that does not include the dredging. So you add another $200K-ish on top of that. I haven't really dug into the local costs yet, you know, as far as the local gravel pit. It's probably going to be considerable. So.
That's for the 10,000 cubic yards.
That's only, and that's relatively small when you're talking dredging area, as compared to other. Projects that they've been doing around the state. It's pretty small. The more dredging you do, the less it costs per yard.
Right.
So we're pretty small. But, you know, if we had our act together and everything went smooth with the fish pier and we bit the bullet and did the testing and passed it, then there's a chance that we could, timeline-wise, couple with these guys, because they're going to be doing dredging as well. And that would be, I think, a considerable amount of cost savings there on the physical dredging of it.
And do they have to go through the same biological stuff
No, what they'll do is they're going to do the chemical analysis that we did and then get with the Army Corps and develop a dredging plan and sampling plan. And based on their results of their chemical analysis, we'll tell them whether they'll need to do the biological testing or not. That's how I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it's over a certain toxicity, you have to line the gravel pit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just so it doesn't just rinse on down into the aquifer. But that's later part
of it. Yeah, whatever the DEP or the Army Corps requirements are. Yeah.
And just to go back one step from an old concept of Snow Marine Park, that was put off the table because that's designated now a wetland.
A small section of it's considered a wetland. But when I met with DOT, came down to go over the fish pier plans and stuff, so we got talking about the dredging. I mentioned, you know, the disposal of the spoils at Snow Marine Park and how we couldn't do it because of the wetlands. And he said, don't worry about it. So just call DEP and figure it out. So he made it sound like it's not that big of a deal if we wanted to find another area to turn into a wetland.
So, all right. So I would like to...
Yeah.
Make sure that that possibility is either on the table or not on the table, because that seems like, logically, that's the easy way to go. Maybe not politically, but as far as cost savings, I can't imagine that there's a cheaper way to do it than to have it.
Let's just make that more usable.
That's not cheaper than going offshore. Because, like I said, as soon as it touches the dump truck, you've handled it another time. So that's when the costs really drive up. Even though you're only traveling a quarter mile, you know, it's... They gave us a price. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it was more than going offshore, even with the bioelectrical testing.
Okay.
It's unfortunately not muck. You can just pump off a barge onto the field there. It's more solid clay and rock.
Yeah, and there's a lot of manpower and equipment, because it has to set for a certain amount of time, drain off, and you have to be able to move it with equipment. It's a long process.
It can be done.
Yeah, in fact, I talked to Chimbro, see if we could use their dock, and they seemed pretty open with us being able to use their dock so that we could offload it from the barge onto trucks, and it's the shortest distance without having to travel through town. So
it sounds like more discussion needs to happen.
If you want, I can get more prices. I think Brock's about ready to kill me asking for prices. I can go back to him. Like I said, whenever you go upland, it doesn't matter if it's 10 feet or 1,000 miles. It's very expensive.
When the channels were dredged in 2005, I wonder if the AMCO did biological testing on all that.
It's only good for a certain amount of time. There's an expiration date on the testing, I guess. But once you get the permit,
they dumped all that out here.
What's that?
They dumped all that. They dredged in 2005 at the dumping ground.
Offshore.
Yeah.
How does that affect the fishing?
It didn't seem to affect us. We had, it didn't bother us after that, and then we had a bunch of stuff dumped there from Portland, like 5 years later, and everybody thought it was going to be a mess, but I caught more lobsters the next year than I had before.
Did they have the same amount of claws?
Or extra, yeah, that's right.
It's pretty unique. There's quite a bit of stuff down there, but... Yeah. Most of that mine, you dump that mine in 250 feet of water, and it just clouds the water. A lot of it actually ends up on the shore over here, where it ends up. You follow the cloud.
Nice.
Because, you know, just figure, dump a bucket of mine in 250 feet of water, it's going to spread out.
That's a fact.
The heaviest stuff falls, but most of it is...
Well, Matt will keep us updated on that. Mm-hmm. And your MDOT.
What about scaling it down to 5,000 cubic yards instead of 10,000?
I don't think your cost is going to be that much different. It's not different. So once they move those barges, you know, you have transportation fees for the barges both in and out.
Mm-hmm.
of the facility, and then you you have to rent the equipment. The Army Corps of Engineers requires you to rent the equipment to monitor where the barge is and where it dumps.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very expensive. That's why if we can couple with another entity right down the road from us that's doing the same exact thing and putting in the same area, those rental fees are cut in half.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, mobilization fees are cut in half. You know, it's a considerable...
So they have to use their proprietary equipment to max it.
Army Corps of Engineers requires you to use X, Y, and Z, and they have to lease it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, thanks, Matt. MDOT meeting?
Tom would have to talk about that. The
Tom?
One they had last week.
Oh, the commissioner and the deputy commissioner. Two lovely gentlemen, I'll put it that way. Went okay. They encouraged us to break the project into two projects, the fish pier and the harbor separately. They said grant-wise that'd be much better. They didn't look at the fish pier as a major project in their mind. You know, even though it's 1.4 million, you know, on their scale, they said it's not that big of a deal. They think structurally, the way it's built with all the
granite
blocks and stuff, that it's, you know, secure, but yes, there's sinkholes, and it needs to be, the gravel needs to be taken out, the gravel in, you know, the top, the layer down, but they encouraged us to, you know, keep looking for the grants and to do it, but they were optimistic, but, you know, didn't want to give any.
They still owe us for Old County Road, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we talked to them, too, because right now, I guess, they have encumbered money on their books. And so we questioned them on the amount. They're saying, you know, it's in the 200,000 range, about 200. Half would be a grant, half would be a loan. But that can change if we go out and get it engineered, come up with a plan as to how we're going to do it and how we're going to maintain it, because they're really upset that they gave us $1 million 20 years ago and now we're back at the same situation because we haven't done anything to maintain them. So they want to see a plan in place as now it's going to be.
But is it true that we didn't maintain it?
No. We've always put money into it, just not enough in their mind.
Yeah, they don't like Rockland. Seen that. Did you have a question, Melissa?
Who was that meeting with?
The commissioner, Burkhardt, or his name is. Well, I got his card in my office, but it was the commissioner and the deputy commissioner.
The one way up there.
The big guy, yeah.
Okay. I was in Florida.
You were like...
Sorry.
That's why you were
there. We had the engineering done on the project.
On the fish pier?
Yeah.
Oh, on the fish pier?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a plan already done. The engineering's all been done on that.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's
all shovel-ready
project. Right here, so that's what we've been using for numbers. Mm-hmm. And last year I called them to get updated numbers. Part of the problem is that was 2012.
When we had a discussion with them, I probably wasn't the head guy, but they was kind of felt responsible for the condition of the top of the pier because of the poor engineering when they built it in the first place.
Oh, that's not the impression they gave me, because
The
impression they gave me was it was engineered perfectly, and the granite blocking, you know, it was done properly because you fill it with the gravel in between, and they looked across, must have been over to O'Hara's.
Yeah.
They said, see, so you got the same thing as they got right there, and, you know, this is perfect.
They should have looked at the Coast Guard base, because
they had to tear that all
every 15 years at the tune of $3 million every 15 years. I was there when they did it last time.
Is it because you just mixed debris?
Built the same exact way. Yeah.
Is it just because they're using mixed different debris to fill up those areas over the past?
I'm not a civil engineer, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. So they found old barges.
It's been done twice in the past 15 years.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was just unfortunate that they did the walkthrough without any city staff. They just showed up on their own and walked around, and so no one was there to point out, you know, what we thought were the issues. Mm.
Are you going to schedule a walkthrough where you're present?
So, We tried. We had coordinated it with them to kind of come to City Hall, and then we'd have a walkthrough afterwards, and they did it in reverse. So. Hmm.
Yeah.
All unbeknownst.
Yes.
So, but do you think
it, see, our plan was to meet up at City Hall and then take them down.
Yeah. So, but do you think it might be a new plan, which is to say, unfortunately, you guys, we didn't connect, we didn't go down together. Can we reschedule?
Well, we did mention that to them, and they want to see our plan and then come back and address it. So if we get down to the plan where we actually have grant money and got a plan in place, then I think we can get them to come back and go over it. Mm-hmm. They weren't really giving us the time of day.
Awesome. We've had that experience.
And that was 1984 that they built that pier, did the surface.
Oh, it's been that long?
Yeah, the granite itself has been there a couple hundred years probably, but that was 1984 when they made the initial investment.
Because we brought up the sinkholes and everything and he said, I didn't see any sinkholes. And I said, no, because we're maintaining, we're filling the middle of our land, safety issue. But.
Okay. Well, keep us updated on that. It might just be time to have a new approach with MDOT, because other communities are getting funded and we're, for whatever reason.
And we just, in the last election cycle, we just passed $150 million waterfront improvement bonds. So there's money there somewhere.
Well, there's money, I think they're upset because at one time, I think under the old commissioner maybe or somebody, we had earmarked $500,000 for Rockland back when John Holden was here. Mm-hmm. He had unannounced verbal commitments of $500,000, so we brought that up years ago, and they didn't have any recollection of that, and they got all mad because we brought that up, and now we're paying the price.
That's why good minutes are very, very important.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to be
hopeful.
Thanks
for all your hard work on it.
I'll be hopeful. Thanks, Tom.
We'll get 200 out of them anyway.
We'll stick with it, yeah.
Yeah? We'll try to get more.
That's right.
Colby Engineering?
So that being said, we did contact another engineering firm that came in. I just met with them this morning. Mark and I went over the plans with them. And they're going to first get me an estimate on what it would cost for their business to come up with an engineering plan. And at that point, we'll sit down and figure out whether we want to spend the money or not.
And where would the, what's the engineering plan for?
The Fish Pier.
Fish Pier? Mm-hmm. And would it, I mean, because didn't you just say one was done in 2012?
Right.
Would it be any...
Not even that long.
I forward them those plans.
Yeah.
So that we're not starting at ground zero, taking measurements on everything.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. See, this is us playing nice with them, Doc. This is their engineering firm that they went to.
Oh, I see.
We're jumping through the hoops.
Oh.
So we said we'd entertain it, have them come down and look at it, and then go from there.
Yeah, anywhere we can save on the engineering, because if it's already been done and they just may need to plug in some different numbers, we can save a lot of money.
I have that whole stack of plans electronically, and I just did that ago.
Okay.
None of the numbers have changed.
Now we understand. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Tom. Was there a proposal for Middle Pier?
No, we aren't. Just
is that the buoy?
Yeah, this whole thing.
That whole thing. Okay. Any old business? Any new business? I did want to let everybody know that George Marks did die this week of a heart attack. He has been an active member of the Harbor community just for years. They will be having not a service, but they will be having kind of a get-together at Burpee from 2 to 4. Tomorrow, so if people wanted to go out and show their respect, but he used to come in to these commission meetings and he'd say, I'm not a business, I'm a service. Remember that? And he'd say, that's right, George. But he was, he'll be missed, and if people want to go show their respect to the family, that would be great. Any other new business?
Mooring field stuff. So I know we've talked about it, but I really need people's input on that, because once we put this out to the public, I really want to have a good solid plan.
Okay.
So any suggestions, bring them up.
Just shoot them to you.
Yep. Like I said, I called Falmouth to find out what they did. But if we're going to move that many moorings, it might behoove us to bite the bullet and do it right. This is our only one chance. But
I also heard loud and clear that Yachting Solutions at this point is offering to pay, and we've got to expect payment.
I talked to them about that. Originally, I was like, well, looks like it's going to displace, you know, roughly 100 moorings at roughly $100 per mooring move. But if we want to change the whole mooring field, you're talking $285.
That's right.
And he didn't balk at $10K.
Yep.
Okay.
But you're going to
need a lot more. But I would balk at $30K. You know, so...
But I think that, you know, they've come to us in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely want to be team players with us. When somebody makes an offer, register it, make sure it gets into the minutes, and we follow it through, because I think this is one of the ways Rockland loses money, is people will offer, and then we go, well, maybe we don't want to take it, but we do want
to
take it.
It needs to be in writing.
It needs to be in writing. Yep.
I mean, not in the minutes. It needs to be between the city and the owner.
Start with the minutes, and then it does move to coming up with
this. This is your bargaining tool.
That's right, contract.
Writing your letter of support.
That's right.
Exactly, yeah, watch out.
But you're not going to be able to take the same mooring from 20 feet of water and put it in 30 feet of water without changing the length of the chain and stuff.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be a
significant amount of money.
A significant amount of money, yeah. And then when you get out to 30 and 40 feet of water, it's a lot more money.
Yeah.
You're talking 40-foot top chains rather than 15s.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kerching, kerching. They've made the offer. They didn't seem to have a problem with it. So that's something, right, if we do write a letter, do people want me to write a letter in support of the Harbor, the Yachting Solutions redesign?
I think...
So, Richard, you don't know.
Well, the only concern I have is the view. Because what you're going to see from here is just pressure-treated lumber. You know, and I don't think the public... You know, I think the public's going to have more input on the wave attenuators.
And we brought that up from day one, was the view, because we have a ton of people that come down here, even in the wintertime, eat their lunch and look out. And there's no boats out in the harbor, so you know they're looking at the water. It's a great view. So what they're going to do, and I believe Mike alluded to it, he's going to make a computer-generated model of what the view would be based on somebody standing on the, you know, right down here. Now, knowing that, in the summertime, their floats, they're going to have big boats tied to it. So obviously you're not going to see past them during the times that they do have the boats on there. But what I was more concerned about was when the boats are not there in the wintertime. We're talking all year you can't see the harbor. That's what he's going to do.
Personally, I like the project.
You do
losing
like
losing the view would bother me, but and the people in my neighborhood and they're concerned of any loss of public space they're concerned about, and they're concerned about
loss of
just coming down here and seeing 15 feet of pressure treated lumber taken out of water. That's just like not appealing to.
So, do they know when they would have that visual ready?
I believe that he said he was going to have it ready for the city council meeting.
Yeah, we're hoping to schedule something in January with the council. We're not going to schedule it until they're ready.
I see that as the only stumbling block early myself. But.
So then, is the recommendation to wait on a letter?
I'd rather wait on a letter because I still have some hesitation about the fishing community. I mean, you said it tonight that when the bigger yachts come in, they run over the traps. They're not mindful and they're not respectful. We have to look at everyone. We have a community that's not quite really happy with the view, but now we may have fishing families that are going to be affected by it as well.
Okay.
And the state really cares about public views, and that's why there isn't a marina next to the Rockland Breakwater, because finally the view from Murray Reed Park would be.
If they built that wall out of granite, they won't have so much trouble on it.
That's true.
But then it would go all the way to the bottom.
It would be a lot more expensive.
Yeah. We'd go right down in there. current design didn't go right down and kind of had almost like flappers and space. So.
Unusual hot water recirculation there.
I know.
There's a lot of questions that they can't
answer that I have not answered. And the big concern I have as well is, you know, we, and I know everyone always frowns at me when I say this, but we have a boardwalk now that we're not responsible for, but it is deteriorating. And he's not taking care of that. So are we going to take care of this project, or are we going to see the same thing?
Hmm. That's why I bought up the bushes. We need to be, we need to, I want to say, pick our battles. Yachting Solutions is leasing the property. It's not Stuart Smith. So Yachting Solution are responsible, you know, for keeping that going, whatever it is.
But he's also a player in that. It's some of his money.
It's absolutely some of his money. We can always ask the city manager when we see him if he will send a letter to Stuart Smith expressing concerns about the what's happening there. What did they say? Somebody said it's just...
I already have.
You
have. The first time I met with Stuart on this project here,
yep.
I brought up the condition of the boardwalk, the condition of the yep. landscaping, and I was overgrown because we started this in the fall, I believe it was, and how it was all grass, and
the
yellow lilies were, you know, overgrown and not well maintained, and he says, yes, taking that under advisement, he will speak to his son.
Okay. Well, hopefully with pressure from the group that was here tonight, because they're paying him a hefty fee, whether he's involved in the project or not, you know, we'll see if we can get that to be fixed.
Yep. And I'll mention it to Stuart next time I get it.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, from a community perspective, it's the easiest way to show a sign of goodwill is to open up that entire harbor corridor for everybody who lives in the South End, and he's just stripped that away. They have no recourse. But slow and steady, we're still going to...
On a revenue-driven basis, if you look at that, I think there's 42 slips, do you say, or 52 slips? Is he going to fill those every year? I mean, they weren't... I don't see that happening now. And yes,
they're going to have to market it.
And I guess that's a marketing thing. But, I mean, that's a big, I mean, a lot of money to put into it for a maybe.
It's a lot of money. Mm. Yep.
It's a maybe. But
at least we'll get a break ball out of it.
Yeah.
To be honest, that was the selling point to the city, really, was that way of continuation wall to make that our inner harbor more secure.
Yeah, if the visual works.
Quite honestly, even in, you know, what I would do is wait probably a winter or two, but there's a possibility I could leave some of my floats in, and they already alluded to it, have some of the commercial fishermen that fish all year round use the dock. They couldn't bring catch over because I don't want fish guts all over the public land. But it's, you know, I've had a ton of phone calls saying, hey, can we get any dock space? You know, it's more revenue for us. You know, it's less maintenance for us having to pull the docks out from the back end. That's like a 2 weeks right there.
Right. You know? So it sounds like people are feeling favorable about the plan, but still some concerns about the view, making sure that people that do come and sit here are able to see the view before we raise...
They're going to be aware of what it's going to be like.
And it's not just a view from the park, too. Think about it for any boat that's coming into Rockland Harbor. They're now going right past that, coming into the harbor. So rather than you coming in and seeing Harbor Park, you're coming in and seeing a big breakwater. Mm-hmm. So the maintenance of that and the aesthetic of that has a major impact on the boats that go into the harbor, too.
So one thing where he's showing the tenders on, I mean the dinghy dock on here, it's quite an elaborate a maze to get out of there.
Yeah.
Well, we'd also toyed with having the dinghies on this side.
Yeah, and that's
which just makes it an even shorter route,
yeah.
A lot shorter route.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is it doesn't offer a lot of protection on a northeasterly, you know, other than Kevin's stuff here. Those are floats. They don't really...
Has the landings been brought into this conversation as well?
I don't know. Not as far as we go. I haven't attended a meeting with him there. I don't know if the Yachting Solutions...
I think Stuart has talked to Kevin Taylor, but I wasn't there. It's just, you know, my talks with Stuart that he has... had informal talks with Kevin.
Still wasn't clear if he was going to put yachts on this side of the breakwater. I thought last time he said he was, but this time it sounded like he wasn't.
If I had floats on that side, I'd probably
put it. Yeah, but what I was
going to put floats out there if you're not going to put boats right there. Right. It's a lot of money to spend on nothing.
So what I was kind of concerned about is if there would be enough maneuvering room for the larger yachts with the buoy.
He's going to be dredging here.
I was talking about the buoy.
But that's an 80-foot, I think he said 80 feet to the moorings.
Yeah.
So you got an 80-foot space and you're bringing in 200-foot boats back-to-back, going around each other in 80 feet.
So, I mean, they're good questions. So put them together. You know, we'll try to organize them because clearly they're looking for a letter. I hear some people are being supportive, some people are hesitant because we want to make sure the fishermen are protected, the views are protected. We are limited in how much we can set limits, I guess I'll say. You know, that they have a right to do the project, and I would much rather coordinate and work with them to see if we can get this done. So put your questions together. You know, Matthew, that's a great question. How are they going to handle if it's 80 feet and it's a 200-foot boat? You know, how is that going to maneuver in? The fishermen, you know, another good question on what's going to happen, the view. So we will, I think those are all reasonable. Put them in writing, you know, send them to me and Matt, and then what we'll do is we'll make sure that they get them and they get back to us. And we will not send a letter as a unit until we get the answers that we're looking for. What and it about, sounds like they're going to council January.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would like the letter of support before they go to council. So they will be willing to answer these questions.
Okay. And with the holiday season, it really pushes us against a wall. Because we've only been involved in the project since November. So
we could give them a letter and a recommendation and just highlight the concerns and all the concerns.
Okay. Yep, because it's set, because what we can do is two separate letters. One is for their grant purposes. They need a letter for the grant to say that we approve and we agree. The second is a letter to council that says, you know, as a whole, we like the project, we support it, but the concerns are fishing, view, and, you know, the ability to maneuver those size yachts. So we can do that. So no objection to me putting a letter together like that before the next January city council meeting. Okay, which is different than a letter of support for the grant monies. Okay, we'll do that.
What's the date in January for the city council? It's early, isn't it?
Council's January 8th.
Three is agenda 8. Yeah.
This will probably be a workshop by itself. So
yeah,
probably
I would think.
More like the 11th or after. So it'll be probably later in January.
Okay. So get your questions out for the grant letter. And then we have the concerns for the letter that will go to council.
Do we also need to incorporate a request that restroom, shower facility, so on and so forth, need to be incorporated into
they
this?
They are planning on taking the gazebo and making that into kind of a boathouse, shower house, but that's not for public use.
That's not for public use,
no.
Though.
Oh, no.
So
I think she might be talking about it, the landing.
Yeah, if we move the building over here, we're certainly going to need to build a bathroom facility for the general public to use the here. But at any rate, you know, we would have to probably expand on, you know, I don't know, don't move the building and leave it here. But if we build that dock, then you're going to put a bathroom over here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I think there needs to be one that's available to the public at the south end on this, you know, we've got kind of like outhouses down there now near their gazebo.
That is separate from Yachting Solutions. That has nothing to do with Yachting Solutions. That does have to do with
actually,
the city.
Right,
and at this point, We are having some discussions about a possible flush bathroom at Sandy Beach, but again, we're looking at money
that we don't have.
But the outhouses are a better option than not having them. I absolutely hate them, but when we took them out for a year. Did you almost take them out for a year, Tom? Remember one season? And it, you just need to have. Remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
And they said Louise will be very upset, and she was.
Well, the sewer used to just run out on the beach down there.
Yeah, that's all cleaned up.
What are your questions about? We're talking about just moving the building back. If this building.
What's that?
Yes, you're right.
There was a question whether this building was structurally able to be, even just to move it.
So, you know, after that meeting, I actually got a quote from a guy to move it, and I asked him those questions. I was like, you know, it's a house that Jack built with so many different add-ons over the years, and he said it's not an issue. They just put...
So we're pretty certain it can be moved over to the other.
The guy's pretty confident he can move it anywhere he wants.
At the same, would be basically the same price?
Well, it wouldn't be the same, but the price difference wouldn't be considerable at all. Really, because the majority of the cost is the lifting and the foundation.
Getting it on wheels.
You know, getting it on wheels is not...
I guess I'm not understanding the rationale for moving the building over. The majority of the boats that you will be servicing, other than the cruise ships, the majority of the boats that you're servicing, people that need laundry facilities, all that jazz, they're still coming to this public pier.
Yeah,
So I don't...
We don't have to move the building.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the point of that, really.
But at some point, we will have to move the building to get it out of the floodplain.
We're in the floodplain.
I understand that.
This is long-term talks.
Yeah.
It really was talks of putting an observation deck on the top, putting retail shops in it, along with the Master's Building and the Yachty Club. And so it's more of a, you know...
Whose conversation was that? What was that conversation?
Oh, that was just
that was Yachting Solutions.
Well, that was just being tossed around when we were meeting. You know, everybody was just like, "Oh, this," and then you know, reality sets in, and who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, and I guess that's another thing. Like, this seems like multiple projects all at the same time, and I guess I just want to make sure we have clarification on what when we're saying we're wanting to move forward on such and such. What are we? I mean. You really got to separate out what they're doing and what we're doing.
What we're moving forward on is Yachting Solutions' plan.
Yeah.
We are not moving forward. We've been very clear from a city perspective. We don't have the revenue for the project that they've incorporated, which is quite lovely, into their plan. We don't have the money right now. So what the letter would be for the council is to address what the concerns are, but that we feel it's a fairly decent idea. What the letter for the grant would be is simply about Yachting Solutions. It has nothing to do with Bowie Park, nothing to do with bathrooms at Sandy Beach, just their grant-related project.
Well, I think that, you know, these displays are very misleading to the public, too, and I think we need to work on trying to separate that out a little bit, because if that shows up in the newspaper and everybody thinks we're voting on putting a giant... thing in Bowie Park.
Permanently used with just their design.
Because I
get where you're coming from.
And Matthew, that's a great idea. And I think what Yachting Solutions was doing was just trying to work with us because there are things, hopefully, that we can pair with them to save the city some money. But the majority of it, like I asked Bill, they can go ahead with this plan without our involvement at all.
They don't even need our approval, right?
No.
Not really.
Just it's a smoother transaction.
But it's nice to.
It's the Corps of Engineers in the state.
We want to be supportive anyway.
That's right. Well, it's much better to play and to have everybody on the same page than
to
push against them.
You know, we were glad they did this because we can use this for our grant if we ever get that far. You know,
yeah, they paid for all of that.
That's right.
So that'll be helpful.
Well, and they also paid for the bathymetry for any dredging that we might want to do in the future.
Yeah.
Was it bathymetry the whole harbor or just that one section of
the
it?
The inner harbor, yeah.
Inner harbor.
Okay. So I understand what my walking orders are. Any applications?
Hold on. I don't think so. Amados. We already did that one, right?
I think we did Amados. Main Boats and Harbor. And usually the meetings aren't this long.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Trust me.
One more question on the mooring.
Yep.
You're planning on doing away with the makeshift channel?
Not doing away.
If they do the moving
it, and then once it gets moved to the new location, then we'll probably get it designated hopefully on a chart as a locally not a Coast Guard maintained channel, but a locally maintained channel.
Do you think it's going to be needed, though, if they put that wave attenuator in there?
That channel? I know a lot of people...
They're still going to have to come over to here anyway.
What do you mean?
Where they come down there, they're going to have to fall to get into here.
It's a possibility. That's a great suggestion, not even have the channel. That's a possibility.
And that would absorb a lot of the moorings.
Yep. Yep.
Because it really doesn't make much sense having it now because they got to come to the other channel anyway.
Hmm. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That would take away a lot of their congestion.
Okay. It
could be almost like the road to nowhere.
Right. Yep.
Thank you. For next January, what we'll do is we're going to try to coordinate with REDAC and to talk about holding public comment sections, public forums about the cruise industry, because both REDAC and COMPS, actually we're going to work with the COMPS, have received feedback on the industry, and what we want to do is, as a city and as committees and commissions, coordinate all of our information so that everybody knows we're on the same page. Because at this point, people keep referring back to 2002 COMPS, and that no longer holds. And so they're in the process of rewriting the COMPS, and that includes the cruise industry and where the community is feeling about that. So we've got some good stuff, but we will plan that in January, pick some dates to see how people feel about that, okay? Is there a motion on the table?
To adjourn.
Melissa, second. Matthew, meeting adjourned at... I don't have my clock.
Late.
Manu, 8:12.
8:12. 8:12.